Racing News podcast. My name's Stevie Rowell, editor of roadracingnews.co.uk. And as always, I'm joined by my dad, Steve Rowell.
Hello, everybody.
Well, first and foremost, we'd like to pay tribute to Neville Hughes, the flag marshal that drew his hairpin at Oliver's Mount. Great road racing enthusiast, a loyal member of the 1946 Masters Association.
Yeah, I didn't know Nev, but I will have seen him at Oliver's Mount many times at Joey's Airpin. Sad time, obviously, especially for all the marshals that knew him in 1946, especially Hurley and Sean. And our condolences go out to his nearest and dearest, like.
I echo your words. Thoughts to his family and friends.
Yeah.
Well, for today's podcast, we thought we'd cover famous TT marks from the early days of the TT and the early days of international road racing. Of course, this includes the likes of AGS, which was set up by Joe Stevens, 66 times podium finishes at the TT.
Yeah, I didn't know that. Mind you, when you look back in history, it was all the great British manufacturers.
It was, yeah.
Were,
I mean,
world leaders in motorcycles at them time.
We had set Ariel, Sunbeam, Rush, Imperial, Sealy,
Brough,
BSA, and obviously Norton.
Yeah.
In the early days, Norton was the under of the day. There was the dominant force.
It definitely was. Yeah.
And I mean, one thing you notice when you read about, I mean, for instance, with Maxless. It's like the family element of these British manufacturers. Maxless, obviously, from the Collier family, which included Harry Collier and his brother Charlie Collier.
Yeah.
Single cylinder TT winner in 1907. So they was amongst the first, you know, star TT racers.
Yeah, I've got the got a drawing of him that it's
Rem Fowler's brother.
Yeah.
Since the 30s, or since the end of World War II, it has to be said, the British manufacturers were still at the forefront, but inside to come the Italian manufacturers like MV Agusta and Gilera. Obviously, with Bob McIntyre, the first 100 miles per hour lap settling with Gilera. And MV Agusta, I mean, how dominant would you say they were in the town?
Definitely, what a royal tale, weren't they, in the late 50s, 60s,
and early 70s.
And the 70s, yeah. With Agostini. There was
Phil Reed,
there's a few Italian riders as well.
Renzo Pasolini.
Yeah.
As I remember, speaking of Renzo Pasolini, obviously Benelli, we should mention in regard, Ian Mackey, Moto Guzzi,
yeah,
as well.
Laverde.
Obviously, in those times, I think like the late 50s, early 60s, there were so many works teams, weren't they, at the TT? Yeah. Obviously, we heard Murray Walker talk about it a lot, and brilliant times. But by 1959, we saw an upcoming two-wheel manufacturer emerged on the mountain course, Honda, in 1959, and then they come back and
they all mocked it, didn't they?
Yeah.
But they came back, and the rest is history, as they say.
And obviously, after Honda came Yamaha and Suzuki and Kawasaki.
Yeah.
So they dubbed the Big Four, Japanese Big Four. And in terms of, obviously, Honda's got the record for the most wins, 260+, but Yamaha celebrating, say, the 65th anniversary. Since the first started making bikes, obviously there was originally set up in 1887, building pianos and musical products, instruments. They held the record for the most podiums and most finishes. They're nearly on 10,000 finishes.
Yeah, I can understand that. Yeah,
you know, it's like races. Yeah. That's it's an amazing statistic. That. What was that we mentioned so far? Obviously, the famous names to mention: Graves, Rotex, Koenig, EMC, NSU, Pattern. So Pattern in recent times.
Because Pattern have been on the go for a long time, you know.
Pattern, obviously, have come back to the forefront in recent times, but obviously they've got their own great history as well.
Yeah.
And got to go on as well, obviously, to BMW. The area was in the 50s, there was 60s, it was more known for the sidecars, wasn't there, really?
Yeah.
Jeff Duke had a brief stint with BMW.
Yeah, and there was that other car, that Matt Meyer.
George Meyer in 1939.
Something like that, yeah.
There were 75 years to save until last one, senior TT. Mm. And obviously Michael Dunlop replicated that feat in 2014.
Yeah, he did.
And since then, well, BMW has been right at the forefront again, obviously, with the TT. And,
usually goes, with the big manufacturers, it goes, usually goes in about a 10-year rota. So yeah, they'll get to the top, and then it's like a clock going round, and then the other manufacturer will come up and be at the top, and then they'll just slowly, then another one will come up, and it's always been like that.
Well, it's like in the 90s, Honda were totally dominant, then in 99, David Jeffries and the Vina and Yamaha team, that all changed, didn't it?
Yeah, it was coming to the end of the era for the RC30, you see.
Yeah, and it took Honda till 2006 to win again with John McGuinness, back to the factory. Obviously they won the Supersport races with Ian Locker, but also mentioned so far. Also, we should mention electric manufacturers, obviously Motorsisk and Mugen. And I think it has to be said, since Motorsisk left the paddock, to me it never really felt quite the same.
No, it's plateaued anyway. It's all suspended now, anyway, isn't it?
Until 2022. Yeah. So fingers crossed when it does come back, we have better grid entries.
Well, they need to be planning it out better, and I'm sure the powers that be know what they're doing.
I forgot to mention as well, BSA. I think I have mentioned BSA, but Birmingham Small Arms Company Limited, and of course you've got a special association with BSA because you own a BSA.
Yeah, I've got my little BSA. Yeah, it's not a gold star out like that.
Especially as it's a reliability problem, but it's,
well, yeah, that was one of the downfalls of British bikes.
Yeah,
in the
day, unfortunately, and that's when the Japanese bikes started.
He was buying reliability.
Yeah. Also, that worked into the racing side of things.
Exactly,
as well.
Exactly.
On to the news. Well, racing's going up soon at Jerby.
Yeah,
I think it's 11th to 12th of July. Lots of top ranks races are going to be there, including Michael Evans, Dave Moffat, lots of road races.
Is Nathan Harrison there?
I think he will be. He's been testing recently at Jerby.
I won't be surprised if he's not there.
Joe Thompson, Justin Collins, Julian Tillotson are all planning to return to Sky Robs. We should mention though, Joe Thompson, 14 times winner at Oilers Mount Scarborough, that he's got a ride on the Moto2 machine for the British Supersport Championship this year, so best of luck to you.
Yeah.
July 17th is the entry deadline for the Cookstown 100, and there's already, I believe, over 110 entrants. They've already got reserve entries in. Massive entry. It's looking really positive for Cookstown.
Yeah, and they've just announced, I don't know if it's official, that gatherings where like horse races, motor racing, things like that, they're going to announce that's going to be allowed in Ireland. So that's that's positive. Good. So hopefully that'll knock on to us.
Drivers not work for
you. Yeah. So that'll save a lot of messing about for race organisers and things like
that. I mean, even before all these things, new restrictions or new things changing and evolving, Cookstown have been very proactive, the organisers of Cookstown. Everything's been planned out, Chris Sarbora, top American mountain course racer, was up to the TT this year with PRL Racing. He's Daytona 200 bound. It's now even rescheduled for October, the famous race. A few other events to keep an eye on. The San Pedro Marta Hill Climb in Mexico, 2nd to 3rd of October. And 13th to 15th of November, the Cane Road Race in Mexico, which Dave Madison Miguel competed at last year. And I must say, road racing in Mexico, the popularity of pure road race in Mexico, it's going up. I would say it is across Central America and South America. I really do think that region is going up and up. I'm not saying it ain't in America, but from what I see online, there is a genuine enthusiasm for it. I mean, this part of the world. On to the 10 questions challenge now, and these are from 2018. It's 10 question challenge Q&A's. This week's is with Alez Nekvatal, who's a multi Czech road racing superbike champion, one of the Czech Republic's top road racers. His answers to the series of questions from 2018 are as follows. Question 1, favourite national roads meeting, Horace, Great Road Circuit, Czech Republic. Favourite racing bike, my 2015 Yamaha R1. What's the best part of competing on the roads? All the people around the races. TT Northwest 200 or Ulster Grand Prix? Clearly the TT, that's my dream. Most respected rival, I respect all competitors. His favourite roads moment thus far. My first ride on the Horace track at the Friedrich Caves of Gustav Havel meet. And then in 2014 when I won both races at the IRRC meeting in Horace. It's the one place of country in the world where you would like to see a roads meeting held. Our man, where the best race in the world is. Who's your road racing hero? John McGuinness. Supersport or Superbike? Definitely Superbike. Pole position or fastest lap? Fastest lap. Right, on to a few facts. And it was closing on 9 years since Andrew Brady did the prestigious junior senior Maxim Pre double victory, which has most recently been achieved last year by Nathan Harrison. And it's thought it were over 14 years since Guy Martin took in his first roads meeting with the AAM racing team 2006 at the Spring Cup at Oyo as well. It was only a year with the AAM squad, Oyster and Mac Racing, and obviously in their own right top road racing team for many years, multi-TT winners. We're on to the bamboozler. A few weeks ago I asked the question, David Todd made his pure road racing debut at which circuit? It was Skerries in 2017. My question this week is, can you name the racer whose racing CV includes competition for the Red Bull Revy Ducati team, former British Superbike champions with John Reynolds, and as it was also accumulated 4 TT podium finishes?
That's a tricky one, but
all I have to say is everybody keep positive, keep going. It's a lot more positive news now.
Yes,
lots of racing, loads of racing is going to take place this one. Lots of classic racing, club racing.
It's changing day by day now. Not week by week, day by day. So it's looking positive. So the next podcast that goes out, it'll be even better news.
Fingers crossed. Time for my weather forecast a bit. The weather's been a bit in and out, hasn't it? Obviously, we've had some unbelievable weather, haven't we?
Oh, yeah. It was a roaster last week, wasn't it?
But fingers crossed, some of that, all that weather will be all remaining race meetings this year that take place. And fingers crossed soon, say road racing will return as it cooks down and Oivers Mount. And so all that's left to say is keep positive, keep going.
This has been Road Racing Podcast. Stay safe.
Stay safe.
See everybody. Bye.
Bye.